No, I really wasn't one for going to church, you see. But I went that night somehow, in spite of that. And they ushered me in with a warm and friendly smile. And five rows back, I sat. Five rows back, I remember it well. The story of Jesus I heard them tell. They told about heaven, and they warned of hell. And five rows back, I sat. The words of that preacher were like arrows of burning truth, and they reached my heart as he spoke so earnestly. He told how Jesus suffered, how he bled and died, and he did it just for sinners like me. Then the choir started singing, just as I am, and I knew that I was lost. My life was a sham, but I came and I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. From five rows back, I came. What a change. Things are different now. Peace and happiness fill my heart. Jesus walks and he talks with me each passing day. And I know that through the years of time and all eternity, I'll not forget the night my sins were washed away. When the choir was singing, just as I am, I knew that I was lost. My life was a sham. Oh, but I came and I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. From five rows back, I came. From five rows back, I came.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. That old boy in that song came from five rows back. I just counted them. I came from the 11th row back. Let me tell you something. Conviction, when God's convicting, it goes from wall to wall and person to person. Doesn't matter how far you're sitting away from the pulpit, it's are you going to answer the call of God? And some this morning need to answer that call. Regardless of how many rows back you're sitting, if God's speaking, you need to answer. You know, I've mentioned several times that there's two reasons that people ought to come to an altar. First of all, is when God speaks to you, you ought to come. You say, what's the second? When God doesn't speak to you, you ought to come. That's the two reasons you ought to come to the altar. You said, that means everybody would be there. Boy, you catch on real quick. That's what the altar's for. Don't be ashamed to come to the altar and meet with God. And listen, the altar I look at as a place of sacrifice. It's a place I get to meet with God, and I can say, Lord, I'm a sinner lost, undone, without Christ. I remember the night. I remember it very, very well. It's vivid. It's burned in my memory. The night that I got born into the family of God. Matter of fact, I'm fixing about to celebrate my 29th birthday. You say, boy, you're young for, you don't look 29. That's 29 years in the Lord. You know, when you look at how old you were when you accepted Christ, I was 24. 24 years old, and I've been saved 29 years. I was lost 24 years. In reality, folks, you know, I'm only 5 years to the good. I lived for the devil for 24 years and been living for the Lord 29 years, and I'm here to tell you the 24 years were some of the worst years as far as a person being lost as you could possibly be. If you feel that way this morning, don't leave feeling that way. The Lord can come into your heart today. Take your Bible and join me, if you would, please, in the book of wisdom called the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. We're going to look at a few verses this morning, and then I want to preach to you on a specific subject. I want to get you to think this morning. You know, a lot of times we come to church and almost we feel that we're being preached at. I don't want to preach at you this morning. I want to preach to you this morning. I want you to think about some things about your life, where you are, and the direction that you're headed. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20. Let's stand together, if you would please. Proverbs chapter 4, begin reading, follow along silently as I read aloud in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse number 20. Solomon writing here says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and a perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." Now here's our text verse, follow it now. He then says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established," or validated by truth. "Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Now I want you to go back into verse number 26, and I want you to look at the text verse. This is what I want to meditate on for a few moments this morning, where here Solomon, the wisest man ever to walk the earth outside of Jesus Christ, says, "Ponder the path of thy feet." Think about where you're headed. Think about the direction that your life is going. And then ask yourself a question, are you happy in that direction? And do you even know what is at the end of that direction that you're heading? And I want to take that and preach to you this morning on that phrase, ponder the path. Now, Father, would you bless us and help us now as we learn from the Bible? We so desperately came this morning because we need to hear from heaven. And Father, your precious word has already spoken to our heart. The song service has already spoken to our heart. It's already opened our spirit up to what you want to say. Spirit of God, do your work now. Move from person to person and pew to pew. And we'll be careful to give you the glory for the outcome this morning and praise you for all that should be accomplished in this worship service today. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. I looked at the calendar this morning and it reads August the 4th. Now, for those of you that are hunters, that means that it's only about 8 weeks to deer season. Amen. Glory to God. Now, if you're hunters and you hunt dove, that only means about 4 weeks to dove season. You say, what are you getting at? I'm saying hunting season's right around the corner. And if you're going to go out and hunt, normally, those of you that have done much hunting, normally there is a path or a trail that you follow to lead you to a spot that you like to be in place. And here we are, August. I'm looking at my calendar. I'm thinking it's just a few weeks I get to go put my trail cams out. Amen. Because I want to find out what's moving around out there. And if nothing's moving in the spot I put my cams, I move them somewhere else. I want to find where the deer are traveling. What good would it be for me to go hunt somewhere where there's nothing there? So I realize there's coming the time. It's time for me to get prepared. I'm starting to get everything together. I'm getting anxious about getting out there. Now, the place that I hunt, you go out, it's way out in the woods. There's quite a walk. There's a certain place that I get and trails split everywhere. Now, the thing about it is when I get there, I've hunted here so long, I know which trail to take. Now, the point I'm trying to make is simply this. There are other trails that I'm not sure exactly where they go. But I do know where the trail goes that leads to my hunting spot. I've been down it. I've traveled it many, many times. Now, sometimes I go out there in the pitch black. Now, I know some of you ladies would love this. I'm talking about in the pitch black of night where you're walking through the woods and things are walking around and moving. And sounds are coming out of the woods and the trees and all these things. But listen, I can still, follow me now, I can still travel that path even though I don't have light on that path because I have certain markers that mark the path. So I can follow that path even when I can't necessarily see everything in front of me because there are certain things that I've done, and by the way, I've learned to mark your path. Now in our scripture verse today, God says, ponder the path of thy feet. Now, that word ponder there means, it means simply to think about. It means simply to consider by examining the circumstances and the consequences of the path that you're following. So he says, think about some things. Now, when we come to church, we need to think. We need to think about the preaching. We need to think about the application of the preaching to our lives. Folks, I'm not here to entertain. I am not an entertainer. I am a preacher. And so when the preaching goes forth, I'm expecting you to think about what is being said from the Scriptures. So God is saying, think about, ponder some things. And what He's telling us to think about and ponder is the path that you're on. You need to think about that. He says, think about the path that you're on, the course that you're traveling in this life, the direction in which you are moving. Some of us aren't moving in the right direction. Some of us are not moving toward the Lord. We're moving further away from the Lord. Have you thought about the path that you're on? You see, a path, folks, is not just a physical trail and on which you're on, but it's rather consists of the decisions that you make in life. He says, ponder your decisions. Ponder your conduct. Ponder your course of action. So many of us, we live off the cuff. We make decisions just spontaneously, and we never ponder the consequences of those decisions. Folks, you only get one shot at life. Have you thought about where your life is headed today? Have you thought about the trail or the path that your life is following today? You say, I'm just a kid. Well, good. Now you can start early thinking about your life. So many times, young people, they get to graduate high school or they get to a place where they need to make a decision in life and they get afraid or they get scared because they've never pondered the path. They never thought about what they want to do and how to accomplish the goal. You see, a path is a well-traveled corridor. Listen now, that connects the beginning to the end. When I go out here in a few months and I follow the trail or the path that leads to my hunting area, I know where it's leading. I don't always am able to see down the path, but I know it because I've got it marked with certain things. Now, what I'm saying simply this morning is you and I are traveling a path. Have you marked it? Have you marked the path that you're following? Did you realize, if you've looked around today, do you know we live in a dark world? We live in an age that is anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian, anti-church, oh listen to me, and anti-life. Have you marked your trail? Are you going to be able to stay on the path of righteousness when everything gets dark and the circumstances look bad around you? You see, the problem is not every path takes me to a place that I want to be. That's the reason. Come deer season, I know the path that takes me to the right place. I don't take the other paths, you know why? Because they lead me away from where I want to go. Hey, listen, every deer hunter in here, every dove hunter, or whatever you hunt, or fisherman, listen, are you not going to go to the area where the fish are biting? Yeah. Are you not going to go to the place to where you know that what you're hunting exists there? Yes. God's trying to lead you this morning, dear friend, down a path to His will. He's got a glorious will for your life. Have you thought about the path that you're on, though? Every path leads somewhere. Every path leads somewhere. And I'm telling you that not every path that you look out there leads to a place, not only that you want to go, but where God wants you to go. You see, this is why we're told to ponder, to think about the path, think about the direction that we're headed. Now, whatever path that you're on this morning, I don't know everything about your life, but I want to ask you some questions this morning. First of all, have you ever traveled this path before? Have you ever gone down the path that you are on right now? Have you ever traveled it before? And if you have traveled it, and it's leading you to a place that you shouldn't be, or you don't want to be, then my question is, then why are you traveling this path again? If you know that it is leading to a place that you don't want to be, I hear it all the time. Well, preacher, I just can't help myself. Well, let me give you some advice. Start helping yourself. Okay? You say, well, I just can't do it. Yes, you can. Listen, if you're a child of God, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. You can do this. Don't buy the lie of the devil. I'm just asking you, have you ever traveled this path before? Here's the second thing I want to ask you. Do you know where this path leads? Do you know where the path leads? Say, well, I just really don't care where the path leads. This is just where I want to go. Well, then you're not very smart. If you don't know where the path leads, do you understand that you could be walking a path in the dark and walk straight off a cliff? You say, well, that's just the way it goes. Well, that's just not very smart, though. If you know that it leads to your demise, why do you travel that path? I'm just asking you, do you know where the path leads? Now, here's the third thing I want to ask you. Do you know anyone who's ever traveled this path and knows where it leads? Amen, preacher. I want every young person under the age of 18 to look right up here in these eyeballs. Listen, you have not traveled the path of life yet. You have no idea where some of these trails lead you. But I want you to look around, young people under the age of 18. There's a lot of cotton top people in this auditorium that have traveled some trails before, that have traveled some paths before. They know where it leads. You need to get some counsel from them and find out, if I'm on this trail, where is this going to lead me? And if they tell you, it's going to lead you to the demise of your family, to the loss of your children, and the demise of your Christianity, then why would you stay on that trail then? Okay, there are people, listen to me, young people, there are people in this church to help you, to help point out some things. Why? Because they've been down that trail before and they know where it leads. Here's the fourth thing I want to ask you. Why are you on this path to begin with? Why are you on this trail? Why are you on this path? Hey, in just a couple of months, I'm going to hit the deer trail. You know why I'm on that trail? Because it leads me to where the deers are. Or deer, right? It leads me to where I want to go, right? So I'm going to get on the trail and follow the path that leads me to the place I want to be. Now follow me this morning. I'm just asking you, why are you on the path that you're on to begin with? Is it for you or is it for God? Amen. Oh, let me back up. Is it for you or for someone else or for God? Why are you on the path that you're traveling? Listen, I'm just asking this morning, ponder your path. Think this morning. And then here's my fifth question I want to ask you. What is your ultimate goal for being on this path? Why are you on this path anyway? Where are you headed? What are your goals? And by the way, I want to say this morning that all of these are legitimate questions to ask yourself. All of these questions have one intent, and that is think about where you are. Think about your direction. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to stop, folks. We're too busy. You say, well, this Dallas Fort there, it's like a rat race. Well, I can agree with you to a degree there, but it doesn't mean that you can't stop and think about some things. Right? Just think. Think about the path that you're traveling. Listen to me. Your decision to stop and think about the path that you're on, it may be the difference between life and death for you. It may be. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to think about this morning. First of all, here's the first thing I want you to think about. Not all paths are good. Not all paths are good paths. You see, the reason they're not good is because they lead people to a place that God does not want them to be. Now listen, I could show you a jillion different paths in the Bible that you need to be aware of that are not good paths. But I want to try to narrow it down to three real quick this morning. Take your Bible, Proverbs chapter 1. Okay, you're going to need your Bible. Proverbs chapter 1. I want to talk to you first about the enticing path. That's the path that lures people into doing things that they probably know that they should not be doing. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10. My son, if sinners, does your Bible say entice? Okay, if sinners entice thee, what does he tell them to do? Don't go down that path. Hey, listen, if somebody says, let's go do this, and you know the consequences are you could spend time behind bars, why would you go do that? If somebody said, if you follow me, and listen, let's go have some fun, let's go bust some windows out, and you vandalize something, let me tell you something, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. There is an enticing path. Look at verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down in the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, here's the advice again. Walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their what? Path. That's the path of enticement. That is taking, listen now, you know one of the first things that he addressed was taking advantage of the innocent? Taking advantage of the innocent. You know why people break into homes? They break into the homes of innocent people to take advantage of them. Why do young people in the public school system today bully people to take advantage of them? People are looking to take advantage of the innocent. But that's basically what stealing is, lying is, deceit is, manipulation is, intimidation is. Listen, folks, don't follow that path. I get so tired of people trying to intimidate people, make them to do things that they don't want to do. Don't follow that path. He said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You see, that enticing path, it says to take it, they want to take advantage of the innocent. Did you notice it also says that enticing path, they get involved in evil practices? You say, preacher, what is evil? Evil is that premeditated, that purposeful act of hurting someone, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally, whether it be spiritually or socially. That's evil. That's premeditated. I'm going to go out of my way to hurt you. Anybody near ever had your feelings hurt? Say, yeah, I got hurt this morning. Now, you say, like, what are you talking about there? Evil practices. Criticism, backbiting, gossip, false accusations, hate, bitterness, abuse, defacement of property. Do I need to go on any further? He said, if sinners entice thee, what are we to do? Don't follow that path. That's the path of enticement. But he said this attitude also, this path also adopts a spirit of greed. Look in verse 19, Proverbs 1, verse 19. He said, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners. There, you know what? In context, he's still talking about if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, folks, I'm just going to step back and be honest with you. In America today, we are some of the most greedy people I've ever met in my life. We are being consumed with pride, with self, and with greed. It seems to be all about how many toys can we get. It seems to be how full can our bank account get. It seems to be how many houses can I own, cars can I own, businesses can I start, how much can I collect for my little kingdom? I got some advice for you. Oh, I got some news for you. Not advice, but I got some news for you. That's all going to burn up. You're going to die and you're going to meet your maker. You're not taking any of this with you. I don't care what the Egyptians say. They can bury everything in the tomb with you. Guess what? When they found King Tut's tomb, it's still there, wasn't it? Yeah, it's still there. Where was he? Gone. Probably in hell. But his stuff was still there. Can I say something to you? When we put you 6 foot under the ground, guess where your stuff's going to be? Still going to be here. And guess what? People are going to take it. Yeah. They're going to take it. So folks, listen, doesn't it make sense then? Hey, how about let's invest in eternal things? That way, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody. There's that enticing path, that adopting the spirit of greed. Oh, listen to me. This is a very dangerous place to be. Simply because it's so contrary to the character of God. It involves selfishness and pride and arrogance and control, stubbornness, obstinance, rebellion. And yet the Bible talks about how stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. And how terrible and awful rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And how terrible rebellion is and stubbornness is. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 14. Proverbs 4 and verse number 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to what? Some to what? They're trying to bring them down that path of enticement. It's like it's some kind of game to them to try to find out how many kids that they can get to be immoral. Amen. That's what it is, folks. Sin is like a game to people today. It's how many people can I get involved with my sin? That leads me to the second path. And that is, we're still talking about not all paths are good. There's a path, there's an enticing path. But can I say to you, there's also an immoral path. And boy, that path is so big today. So many people are going down. You could drive a freight truck twice, double wide down it. People are going into immorality today. I want you to look at what Solomon says about it. Proverbs 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Proverbs 2 in verse number 11 now. Discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. Scoot down to verse number 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death. Oh, look at this. And her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. Let me tell you something. Many of you don't realize how many times I've heard over all these years of ministry, I've heard people talk about how they wish to God they had never gotten involved in immorality. Many of them got involved in it in all shapes and forms before they were ever married. And guess what? It carried right into their marriage. I'm just telling you, folks, there's a path you do not want to take. And it's the path of immorality. The scripture said it leads to death. You say, no, it doesn't. Hey, I'm not saying he's necessarily talking about instant death, that God's going to kill you. But what about all these sexually transmitted diseases? Amen. And AIDS. And all of these various things that are involved down this path. Listen to me. If that's what's down this path, wake up. Why are you going this path? You're not only going to mess your life up, you're going to mess some others' lives up as well. Down this path is the death of purity and innocence. Down this path is the death of a clean conscience. Down this path, many times, is the death of marital vows and the death of trust. Lie down this path. Yet people are traveling it. Oh, by the way, the scripture talks about when you follow this path, there's a no return policy. Did you notice it said, look at verse number 19. None that go unto her return again. You say, well, yeah, I can come back, but you're not going to come back pure though. You can never return back to the place once you've been involved in immorality. You can never turn back to a place of purity again. You can't. If you don't believe this, ask all these people with these sexually transmitted diseases. They can never return back to the place that they once were. You know where they got that? Down the road of immorality. There's a no return policy. You see, things may never be the same. You're going to lose faithfulness. You're going to lose oneness. And listen, I'm telling you, the divorce rate is so sky high today over this path because so many are following that stinking path of immorality. No wonder the divorce rate is 60% or more. Most of it's because of immorality. All right, folks, what are we doing? Our land today is so overwhelmed with people traveling the path of immorality. The intimate desires of God are being ignored, and sexuality has become a game and a challenge to so many today. The sacredness of intimacy within marriage has been softened, scoffed at, made to seem outdated, old-fashioned, and out of touch. Well, listen, I may be out of touch with men, but it's not out of touch with God. So you better stay in touch with God. So there, all paths are not good. Some are enticing paths. Some are immoral paths. Some are just foolish paths. Just doing things. Listen, you say, what is foolishness, preacher? Here's what foolishness is. Foolishness is knowing where the path leads, knowing there's a cliff, and walking it and walking right off. You know where this leads. And you do it anyway. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Did you notice it said his own eyes? Didn't say God's eyes. Right in his own eyes. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returneth to his own vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. You say, you mean to tell me the scripture says if he walked down that path and walked right off the cliff, if he was spared, that if he didn't learn, he'd do it again? That's exactly what I'm saying. He'd walk right off again. You see, there are foolish paths, things that we know that lead us to bad things and things we shouldn't be involved in, but we do them anyway. So I said, first of all, not all paths are good. I want to say this secondly. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. I said, first of all, not all paths are good. But I want to say, secondly, not all paths are bad. Not all paths are bad. Listen, so if we're not careful, we'll live in schizophrenia Christianity. We walk around, I don't know if that's right. And we bite our fingernails. I don't know, should I take that path? Should I take that path? Should I take that path? Hey, all paths are not bad, folks. There are good paths. Proverbs 2, verse number 9. Are you there? Well, look at verse 8. He that keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every, what kind of path? Good path. Every good path. So not every path is bad. And we can't live our life being afraid to travel life. Not every path is a path of enticement. Not every path is a path of immorality or foolishness. There are some righteous paths. Psalm 23, verse 3, you know it well. The scripture talks there where God says, he restoreth my soul, the psalmist says, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Not for my sake, for his name's sake. God says there are paths that are good. They're called the paths of righteousness. That means that if I'm going to follow that path, church, we've learned about what the word righteousness means. If I'm going to follow the path of righteousness, I'm going to have a change of mind. I'm going to have to change my attitude. I'm going to change my spirit. This road, it leads to destruction. I have not been happy since I've been on this path. This road leads to happiness and joy and peace and the Father's blessings. Now, let me ask you this. If that leads to destruction and that leads to happiness, why would you take this one? Unless you just want to be miserable all your life. I don't know of anybody that wants to live the rest of their life miserable. There are righteous paths. Paths that lead to the right thing. This leads to the wrong thing. This leads to the right thing. So here I am. I have to decide right or wrong. Do you know God's given everyone in this building the sense to decide right and wrong? Everybody does. So we get to make the decision. Do I want to go on the path of darkness? Do I want to go on the path of righteousness? It's a change of attitude. So there are paths that are righteous paths. You say, well, how do I know it's a righteous path? Well, first of all, righteousness is simply this, the change of attitude about that book. Listen, if you're new to Christianity, you're going to have to make a huge decision before you can ever follow this path. You're going to have to decide, is the Word of God that you held in your hand, is the Word of God the final authority of all faith and practice in your Christian life? If it is not the final authority, then you're going to have a difficult time following the path of righteousness. Because you must have a final authority. That book is loaded with principles and precepts and commandments and the purpose of why we exist. You're going to have to settle the fact, is that the final authority or not? So there are righteous paths. Do you know what else I found in the Bible? There's also a path of truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hey, there's a path of truthfulness. Let's be honest today, folks. Everybody looking up here? Let's be honest. We're all sinners. Hey, once we come to the fact and the truth that we're all sinners, we've sinned against a thrice holy God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So let's just be truthful. We've sinned against God. Hey, let's talk about another truth. Not only have I sinned against God, I need a Savior. I've sinned against God, so I need a Savior. That's a truth. Hey, let's talk about another truth. Jesus is the Savior. You know how I know that? Because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. There's a path of truthfulness. Let's talk about another truth. Not only is He my Savior, but He's died for my sins and wants me to be saved. That's truth. He wants you to be saved. You say, man, I'm bad. Well, let me ask you this. Is there a sin that supersedes the grace of God? Is there a sin that exists out there that is greater than grace? I have a Bible that says, no, it's not. There is no sin greater than the grace of God to forgive that sin. Every sin that's ever been committed, Jesus has paid for that sin. Hey, let's talk about another truth. Once you're saved, it's called eternal security. Yeah. That's why when we get saved, we embrace it. We're saved forever. That's a truth. Hey, let's talk about another truth. The blessings and favor of God for those who are disciples. You know about you? I want to be a disciple, don't you? I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want that favor. How about another truth? There's eternal reward for faithfulness. You see, there are good paths. Not every path is bad. There are righteous paths. There are truthful paths. The Scripture talks about there is a just path. Are you close there? In Proverbs 4:18, look at it real quick. Proverbs 4:18. It says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Just. That conforming to a common standard of truth. That proportional spirit that's guided by principles and commands in Scripture. You know what you'll find here? You'll find discernment. You'll find integrity. You'll find honesty. You'll find joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness. You know where you find all of that? You find that by being down the path of justice. Being a just believer. Now, I said, first of all, not all paths are good. I said, secondly, not all paths are bad. And here's the last thing, and I'm done. How do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference from a good path or from a bad path? Well, go back to Proverbs 2. Look at it. Verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart. Stop. According to James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, where should he get it from? Let him ask of where? Didn't say ask of men, didn't say go to the public library, did he? He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And will God give? That's what it says. What do I need wisdom for? You need to know which path to go. Because you don't know what path many times. Some of them are all painted nice and they look great. But how do you know the path that's good and path that's bad? He says, when wisdom enters thine heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Here it is now. Look at verse number 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. That means that if wisdom exists, then you now have the ability to discern which path to follow. You say, well, how does the Bible describe a bad path? We don't have time to turn all the verses, but I'm just going to tell you that according to Psalm 17 and verse number 4, the destroyer exists on a bad path. You know who the destroyer is? Oh, by the way, he's not the guy with horns in a red suit with a pointed tail and a pitchfork. You saw that on your deviled ham can before you came this morning. That's the only place you're going to see something like that. The devil is not the pointed tail dude. Yeah, amen. You know what? He may be using one of your friends to say, come on down this path. Ah, come on. Everybody's doing it. Oh, by the way, that's a lie. Because everybody's not doing it. Because there's a lot of people out there that's got a lot of sense to know that path of enticement is not a good path. So the destroyer is on that path. We know something else. The wicked frequent this path. Yeah. Hey, you know my game cams? Let's go back to hunting. I like to talk about that a minute. You know those game cams? The amazing thing is I don't pick up just deer on there. You know what I've picked up on my game cams? Wild hogs, coyotes, bobcats, possums, armadillos, people. Hey, I'm just saying that the wicked frequent those paths. You know what a preacher taught me a long time ago? If everybody's going down that path, that's probably the wrong one. Yeah. Because the Bible talks about a broad way and a narrow way. And he said the broad way led where? Come on, help me. The broad way led where? To destruction. Where'd the narrow way lead? To eternal life. So the wicked frequent it. Hey, can I say also that down the bad paths, you'll find that darkness is cast over that path. There are people that are saying that's a bad path. Darkness is there. And you see people, listen, people are going down that path while you got some guy coming up this path. And you think, man, what's wrong with him? He's vomiting. What's wrong with him? He's got the shakes. He's on the ground. He's rolling around. He's acting crazy. What's wrong with him? Oh, he's on drugs. Amen. Now, wait a minute. If you see somebody coming off of that path and you see, is this how you want to be? All right, so if you follow that path, guess where it's going to lead you? It's going to lead you to that guy. Darkness is cast over that path. Potential destruction, listen, or death travels down that path. Temptation travels that path. Suspicion goes down that path. So the description, the Bible talks about the bad paths. But then it also describes the good paths. Remember I told you, go back and I'm done. Let me finish up with this. Remember I told you that sometimes I have to follow my deer trail back to where I hunt in the dark? Now I've got a light, but what I've done when I was in the light, daytime, Brother Garner, doesn't it make sense that if I'm going down that trail in the dark, it probably was smart that I mark it? So that when I'm going down, I can take my light and I see my little reflector markers. That's where I go. And then I get to that one and I look again. Oh, there's one. And I go there. And you know what? Literally, in the dark, through the woods, I'm going from point to point. But you know what? It's going to lead me to where I want to go. You see, the path of today, yes, we live in a dark society. Yes, we live in a wicked world. But you need to mark your path so that you know where the path leads. You say, how do I mark it? Well, according to scriptures, mark it with the Word of God. The word, thy word, it says, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Mark it with the word of God. Listen, you say, what are you talking about, preacher? Before you travel it, find out what the word of God says about that path. So when somebody says everybody's doing it, you read the Bible. Oh, no, not everybody's doing it. Wrong path. You mark it with the Bible. Mark it with the word of God. Second thing. Not only is a good path marked by the Word of God, but it's marked and shown by the hand of God. Listen to this, Psalm 16, verse 11. The psalmist says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Now look, you step back. Lord, I don't know where to go right now. I don't know this path, this path, this path, because sometimes all these paths aren't marked by some of these things. So you know what you do? That's when you step back and say, Lord, what path is it? What path do you want me to go? And listen, God will always lead you down the right path. God's never led somebody down the wrong path to destroy them or kill them or mess their lives up while he's going to heaven and say, boy, I tricked that one. Let me go to another one. You got a wrong concept of your God. It's marked by the Word of God. It's marked by the hand of God. Oh, listen, that path is also led by the Spirit of God. Psalm 26, 11. Lead me in a plain path. Now, here's the last verse I want to give you. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. In all thy ways, not some ways, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. You see, the reason that we should ponder the path that we're on this morning is because according to Proverbs 5 and verse 21, God's pondering your path. You say, you mean God's got an eye on me? Oh yeah, big eye. Yeah, he's got an eye on you. You see, he sees every step that you're taking. And he knows where that path that you're on this morning will end. And folks, you're not going to be the exception to the rule. You stay on the wrong path, it's going to lead you to wrong. You stay on a destructive path, it's going to lead you to destruction. And it does, and listen now, it doesn't matter whether you're saved or not. If you follow the path of immorality, you will end up like those others, whether you're saved or not. You're going to end up as an immoral person with your conscience seared like a hot iron. Okay? Salvation does not matter when it comes to making that decision of should I go this path or not. That's where the Word of God comes in. I just want to ask you this morning, ponder the path of your feet. Have you thought about that? It's the year 2013. Have you thought about the last, what are we in now? We got, how many months we got left? Four? Five after this one? Four? You ever thought about where your path's going to lead you for 2014? You say, it's 2013. I don't think that far ahead. You need to. Yeah. Think about the decisions you're making. Ponder the path of your feet. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. I wonder how many believers are here this morning would say, preacher, I'm a born-again child of God. I'm not ashamed of it. I'd like to see who you are and thank God for you. And if you would recognize that before the Lord this morning, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm a born-again child of God. I'm not even ashamed of it, and I'll testify of it this morning. All right? All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I think pretty much about 90, maybe 95% or more raised their hand this morning. But there might have been about 5% of the people. I saw a few, didn't see everybody, that could not raise their hand and say, preacher, I'm a born-again child of God, but you want to be. You say, I thought about it. Maybe somebody has witnessed to you. Maybe somebody has talked to you about your soul. Let me ask you today, why would you leave? Why would you stay on the path that leads to hell? Why would you stay on the path that leads to destruction eternally? Why would you stay on that path if you had an option to trust Jesus Christ and let heaven be your home? If you're here this morning, you cannot honestly say that you're a born-again child of God. And maybe no one has ever showed you out of the Bible how to be saved. Can I ask you this morning, would you let me pray for you? Would you at least let me extend a prayer on your behalf this morning? I need to know who you are so I can pray for you. Nobody's looking but me. If you're here this morning, you can't say that heaven's your home. Would you at least let me pray for you? And would you signify that to me by just slipping your hand up? Just slip it up so I can see you, and I want to pray for you right now. Right now. I'm not going to come to you. I'm just going to pray for you. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Anybody will join this one. God bless you. There's two. You can slip your hand down. Anybody else will join. God bless you. Anybody else will join these three and say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I don't want to die without Christ. I'm on a path of a lost person. I'm on the path to destruction. I don't want to follow that path, preacher. I want to be saved. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up. Anybody join these three? Anybody else? All right? Maybe you're here this morning as a Christian. And you've already been saved. And someone has talked to you about the next step that you need to take is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You've never been baptized after. Not as a child. Not as an infant. But after you had a knowledgeable understanding of how to be saved and you accepted Christ, but you've never been baptized after that, and you know it's the right thing to do, and you say, "Preacher, I've never done that. Pray for me." I want to see who you are and pray for you this morning. Just slip your hand up and say, "That's me." It doesn't matter whether you're a teenager, child, or adult. Just slip your hand up. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else will join this one. Say, "Preacher, that's me. I've already been saved, never been baptized. Pray for me. Pray for me." God bless you. Anybody else? Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. You can put your hand down. There's three right there. Anybody will join these three? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for you. You believe in prayer, don't you? I want to pray for you." Anybody else? I want to pray that you do the right thing. Then one last thing. I wonder how many believers are here this morning that would say, "Preacher, the path that I'm on right now is not the right path." I'll just be honest with you. It's not the path. I know it's not the right path. I know where the path leads, but I want to get on the right path. You say, "I know the path that I'm on right now, preacher. Please pray for me. I need to get off, by the grace of God, I need to get off this path and get on the right path." Maybe you're out of church. Maybe you're a prodigal away from home. Maybe you've left home and left your parents and left the security of your home. Whatever the case may be, I don't know your specific need, but you'd at least let me pray for you. You say, "Preacher, that's me." I want you to stick your hand way up high and you say, "That's me. The path I'm on, it's not the right path. Not the right path." God bless you and you and you and you and you. Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." Have you thought about the questions I ask you? Do you even know where the path leads that you're on? Do you know anybody that's ever been down that path and what they can tell you about the path that you're on? Anybody else? We'll join these four or five that raised their hand. Anybody? Anybody? All right. Then, my Father, I'm going to ask you this morning, have your way in this invitation. I pray for these three or four that raised their hand, said they knew not Christ. Let this be the morning that they put their faith and trust in you. I pray for these that need to be baptized. I think there were two or three of those folks, dear folks, that need to be baptized, already been saved. And I pray that today would be the day of their baptism to do right. Just live right and make the right choice and follow the path of righteousness this morning. And then, Lord, there were several that raised their hand and said they were believers this morning, but the path that they were on was not the right path. And so many times, Lord, the path that we're on, we think it's the right path because we dictated the circumstances of that path. And yet, that path may not line up with the Bible. So as I'm praying, I pray that every child of God would examine their heart right now. Is the direction they're going approved of God? Is the direction they're going approved of this book? And if not, let today be a day, Lord, that we would collect collectively around the altar as children of God and pray and seek thy face, that Father, we may turn and repent from the direction that we're going and get on the right path for thee. Have thy way in this invitation. We'll give all the glory and praise to thee in Christ's name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Brother